of Deuteronomy. Is that right? The book of Deuteronomy. Yeah. We're moving right along. And the last time we got together was in chapter 21. And so we're going to go ahead and speak that tonight. Father, thank you again for the anointing. Teach us and lead us into all truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. All right. So Deuteronomy chapter 21, last time we got together. So let's go ahead and look at that. And it says, if one be found slain in the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him, what are you going to do? You're going to call the elders and the judges to come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. So remember, we talked about that. CSI, Miami Vice, Columbo, come on, I'm trying to think of something. Barney, not Barney. I think of Barney Fife. Barnaby Jones? Was that? Okay, Ironside. How about that? Way before all that, you know, all that stuff. MASH? No, that's something different. Okay. So, anyway, so shall be in that city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of the city shall take a heifer which hath not been wrought with, and which has not drawn in the yoke. All right, so it goes on, verse 4. That's verse 4. And she got out of her seat. And there's verse 4, and she's back. Do you see that? Wow, that's the fastest I've seen her run all year. All right, and the elders, how come you don't do that when I say, get over here? Whoa, doesn't work, okay. And the elders of that city shall bring the heifer into a rough valley. Watch out, Brother Mike. Which is neither, what is that, eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. Now, some translations say it actually breaks the neck, because it's not necessarily a sacrifice, okay? So go on. Are you there? There you are. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near from, for them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. I want to say something right there. I probably said it last time, but we need to let the word of the Lord be the final answer on all our issues of life. We really do. We thank God for doctors. We thank God for these people, that people, you know, whoever counsel we get, people give us opinions and advice. I'm going to take the word of the Lord. Okay, so we're gonna fall on the word. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded, or the neck is broken in the valley. All right, and they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. So God was wanting the land to be cleansed. So let's go on, verse 9. We'll pass this one. Go with verse 9. And so thou shalt put away the guilt of the innocent blood from among you when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. There's a lot of things to preach right there. You can get rid of the guilt if you just do what's right. We can get a lot of guilt off of our chest, a lot of heaviness that we all carry, the burdens we carry, if we just do the right thing with God. That's right. Confession is good for the soul. Verse 10, when thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them to thy hands, thou hast taken them captive, and see among the captives a but beautiful woman, and hast a desire unto her, thou wouldest have her to be thy wife. Thou shalt bring her home, and God almost said give her an apron, but I'm just kidding. Bring her home to thine house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails. Now, you remember that, the shaving of the, Brother Mike's going to fall out. The shaving of the hair, you know that's to get rid. All the ladies are whispering now. There's clamor among the women. They're going to shave their head. That represents getting rid of all the old pagan worship, who she used to be, because the hair on the woman's head is what? Her glory. It's her covering, right? And then also the paring of the nails represents getting rid of that tattoo. We told you about that special flower that the Egyptians had, and they made a paste out of it, and it became a dye, and it lasted for about a month or so, and they painted their fingernails really pretty But if you were really, really into what you were doing, you did your palms or your hands in the bottom of your feet. That's just wow. So anyways, yeah, we'll go past that. Verse 13, and she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off of her and shall remain in thine house. A lot of these things is correlation with being saved. We get rid of some things of the past, right? And be well her mother and her father a full month. And after that, thou shalt go unto her and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. Okay. And it shall be, if thou have no delight in her, that thou shalt let her go whither she will, but thou shalt not sell her at all for money, and thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. And if a man have two wives, again, I don't know why, one beloved and another hated, that's going to happen, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, if the firstborn so be hers that was hated, that it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. So we talked about that being the law of the firstborn. And I think Christine was telling me they still have that law somewhere in Social Security that's out there for the law of the firstborn, child support and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just amazing how these laws, everybody thinks they're so intellectually, you know, wise and smart. I mean, God established this so long ago to have a good, fair system. You know, if we wouldn't tinker and mess with and make so political our lives and our government and things, you know, we really could run smoothly. We wouldn't have so many issues, but we choose not to use the wisdom of God. All right, so go to verse 17. And it shall be acknowledged the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a what? Double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The first, or the right of the firstborn, is he. All right. And if a man hath a, oh, this is the good one. This is the one my children came up to me later on about. Y'all should have been in that conversation. They were like, is that talking about us? I was like, we'll see you in the morning. We'll see you in the morning. Okay, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, and by the way, that word son there, in because I was asked about it, is genderless in a way. I mean, it's both female. It's children, really, when you look at the translation. It can say female, but it's mainly children. So girls are not off the hook. If you have a stubborn and rebellious child, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and they have chastened him, will not hearken unto him, then his father and his mother laid hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city, unto the gate of this of his place. And if they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard. So I want you to see that it wasn't just being disrespectful and not listening to mom and dad and doing their jobs. I mean, they got to the place where they were just gluttons and drunkards. They were couch potatoes. They're wine bibbers. They just did not obey. And so it became very slothful. So I wanted to add that. And the men of the city shall stone them with stones that he die, so that thou put away evil from among you. And all Israel shall what? Hear and fear. And as I told you, some theologians, some scholars said that, you know, that it may not even have happened. They wouldn't have to really do this particular commandment, because all you had to do was just let everybody know, you know, hear ye, hear ye. If you're a drunken, a sluggard, and a glutton, you're going to be stoned as a child. So it really put a great fear in people. And I think we need to get back to some of those fearing of God again. All right. And then if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou shalt hang him on a tree. So we're talking about that. Cursed is the man who hung on the tree, right? His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any ways bury him that day. So why did they put him on there? They didn't do that as far as execution was concerned. They used the sword. They just put him on there for shame. Okay, Jesus took how much of our shame? All of our shame. We should never be ashamed. We should never be shameful at all. Okay, let me move on then to tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 22. I hope this is, I hope it's blessing you, Deuteronomy, because there's so many cool things that translate over from
then till now. And then you really get to see God in a different light, because it's like, wow, you know, your wisdom is beyond my understanding. And it's very awesome how you put things together. All right, so let's look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 22. And you're going to throw them up on there for me. All right, great. Verse 1, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. And thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. Guess what? God started the first, lost and found. You thought your school did that, didn't you? The principal? God did that. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. We call that being Southern, don't we? We call it neighborly. Be neighborly. Well, that's Bible. We're supposed to do this. All right, verse 2. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, put it on eBay. I'm going to tell you right now, that's what a lot of people think, don't they? How many people you know find something and say, "Woo, praise the Lord, it's mine." It's not yours. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, and if thou not know him, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until, everybody say until, thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. So if we find something, we're supposed to return it to the owner the best that we possibly can. If we can't, that happens. You know, anybody that lives on a road that's got a ditch, you're going to get all kinds of cool stuff in the ditch, don't you? I find all kinds of stuff in my ditch, and I keep it, and I wait, and nobody comes back for it. Guess what? It's mine. It might be an old can or two, but it's mine. All right? Verse 3, in like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and thou shalt do with his raiment, and all lost things of thy brother's, which he has lost, and thou hast found, and thou shalt do likewise, that thou mayest not hide thyself. So here's what I did. I put from verse 1 to 4, and in my notes I put, do the right thing. Amen. Just do the right thing. You know, again, so many people find things or whatever, and they see something happen, and they turn away from it. God wants us to be neighborly. He wants us to love one another. Do unto others as what? You would want done unto you. You ever lost something? All of us have. And that terrible feeling of not finding it, that terrible feeling of where is it at? And then to know somebody has it. I remember, well, I ain't going to tell you a story, but we all remember getting something stolen from us, right? God doesn't want that in our lives. All right, verse 4. And thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. Now, this seems very generic and very educational and elementary, you know, to us who love and are kind. But you know how many people need to read that again? Do you know how many people need to apply that don't help? You see videos. I've seen videos too, where somebody has a major incident take place. For an example, I won't mention the city, but in a large city, you know, somebody gets knocked down or mugged or whatever, and people just walk by, or they have an accident and they steal their phone or their wallet. I mean, doesn't that just break your heart to say, how could you do that when somebody's in need? Well, you know, the Bible says that the love of many will wax cold as we get closer to this day, the last days. And so we can't do that. We're going to love our brothers. We're going to help them out. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know. Should I pull over and help somebody? Well, you have to discern those things. But one thing for sure, if we see our brother in need, we should do the best to try to help that. All right, so let's go. Verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Let me read that one more time. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God.
Is anybody here? We've gone pretty far, haven't we? We've gone real far. Man bags, man makeup, man. Come on, somebody. We got all these different things. Now, why did God do this? Let's look at it for a second. Because back then, the clothing was not the same as we have today. In fact, they were very common. They're usually long robes. They were just, you know, pretty plain. Usually the only thing that made it a little different is that the woman would have a wrapping around her, and that would distinguish, you know, the two. The other reason why God didn't want this to happen and to keep men and women separate like that is because the pagans would use it in their worship. In fact, the women would wear armor when they worshiped Venus, and the men would wear women's clothing, and I'll get into that more in just a minute. And so they would do that, and they would swap sexes, if you will, positions of gender, and act out these type of worship things. And God says, not you. That's not happening. Do you see how far we've gone from that? It's not talking about women wearing pants. We can get into a whole long deal about that. That didn't apply because it wasn't available. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all know they did not have Gucci back then? They had camel hair. They didn't have Versace or Jordache or anything, or Levi. They had what they had, and it was a robe. And God did not want them interchanging. Man, we are so far from the principles of God. So let's go to verse 6. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. Okay? So God changes over. He's getting away from the clothing thing. He really didn't have to make too much mention of that. Okay? Now we need to preach it and teach it for days. So he goes on to the laws, humane, being humane. So I want to write that down. Just being humane is fine in your notes. But it's the laws of being humane. Okay? So let's go to verse 7, then I'll clarify it. But if thou in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest prolong thy days. Okay, so why did God throw that in there with Moses? Why did he say that about a bird, the dam being the mother and the little ones, the eggs and all? The reason why is that God believes in the ecosystem. Echo, you know, he believes in the cycle of life. Okay, and what he was saying was, if you take the dam, then the dam can't produce eggs again. Wave at me. You know, we wonder, why do they have hunting laws? Why are there so many fishing rules? Why are there so many this and that? It's to preserve the cycle of life, the ecosystem. Let it continue to do what it needs to do. That's why you can't shoot does and so on and so forth certain seasons. Why? They have to produce. And so God has always been a keeper of his creation, and he expects you and I to be keepers of his creation. He said, I give you dominion, but that doesn't mean you destroy it. That means you take care of it. Okay? And you'd be surprised how many people are inhumane to animals. Now, I'm not talking about being an earth hugger, tree hugger, rock licker, and all that stuff, and just, you know, you squash the bug and you have a funeral for it. I'm not talking about that. What we're talking about is taking care of that cycle of life so that more life can be produced. All right? If there's a scorpion or a snake about to bite you, come on, somebody. That's a whole different story. You better get out the old 410, squinch one eyeball, and pull the trigger. Come on, right? We're not talking about that. But if you, you know, you have to use common sense. And again, I'm not a PETA head and all those things, but you can't abuse your animals. You can't abuse them. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to love them. And, you know, I tell you, I don't like anybody abusing nobody or nothing,
But especially when you see them touching animals like that, being real, real mean. God doesn't like that. Now, you don't hear this taught a lot in Christianity, do you? No, you don't. You don't, because you hear the opposite side where everybody's just, you know, fluffy, whatever. And, you know, I call them pita heads, but there is some legitimacy to it. Okay. So this is the laws he's trying to tell them. So that's smart, isn't it? That's smart. Take care of them. All right. Go to verse 8. And when thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon that house if any man fall from thence. Guess what? God started OSHA. He started OSHA. He started the first department of rules and regulation for building. He was the first code enforcer. Isn't that amazing? This is God. He's like, look, don't be stupid. If you've got a flat house, put you about a 3-foot wall so knucklehead don't fall over. You're going to have drunk uncle come over. You know that, son. You know they're going to come partying because they used to feast on top of the house roofs. If you've ever gone overseas, they love to party on the roof. Woof, woof. You know, we sing songs about it, but they actually do it over there. You know, they party on the roof. And so he said, build a parapet, a balcony. Duh. You know, I wonder how many people fell and died when God finally said, look, wait a minute. Just right here, 3 foot high. Anyways, isn't that amazing? But these are common sense. And then people look at the Old Testament like, I'm like, look how genius it is. Anyways, all right. I bet God created Home Depot, in my personal opinion. And thou shalt not sow the for us that needed the help. Sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy field be defiled. Okay, so now God's a gardener. Why did he say don't do that? You ready? There's two reasons. The first reason, the main reason, I'll give you that one first, is disease. Don't mix the seeds because they can cause disease after a period of time. You know, the cross-pollinate and whatever, it can cause a disease. The other reason was because of superstition. The pagans would take and mix their seeds and do a magical act, if you will, sowing it, thinking that they are doing something clever. But what they were doing was defiling the ground. And God said, don't do that. So in this particular verse, in the next verse we're going to read in just a minute, I want you to write down the word mixture. God is very serious about not mixing certain things in your life. Let me try that again. God is very serious about not mixing things in your life and in my life. He wants our life to be pure. He wants our life to have a pure flow and to get these things out of our lives. Okay? How many of y'all know the Creator ought to know what he's talking about when it comes to the garden? Okay. Back at verse 1, I just noticed this note. I want you to write down Exodus 23, 4 and 5. Exodus 23, 4 and 5. And the reason why I need to capitalize on that is because when God told everybody, hey, listen, you need to return that which was lost, you need to help out, on and on, guess what Exodus 23 says? Even your enemies and those who hate you. So if we're just going to do for brothers and sisters in the house, that's not the full love. That's not the full circle of what God wants you to do. You got to do it for your enemies. So I had to throw that in there. Because a lot of people, you know, it's easy to love people you love. It's easy to love people of your same color, your same culture, your same financial status or whatever. But can you love everybody? Yeah. Can you help everybody? And that's the true Christian test. Okay. So he said, what? Don't mix it. I don't want you to mix it because of what it will cause. Okay? So go to verse 10 there. And thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. All right, so what's up with this?
you know, you an ox and an ass together, a donkey and an ox, a donkey and an ass. Well, what's the problem with that? Well, here's the problem. One is moving at one speed, and one is moving at another speed. One is taller than the other. One stronger than the other, and it just doesn't work. Okay? How many of y'all know that? In life, be careful who you're yoked up with. Don't be yoked up with an ox, and don't be yoked up with a donkey. All right. So you got to watch out who you're yoked up with. Sarah better laugh and say, I've been there before. Is that right? Do not be unequally yoked. Okay. There's another powerful principle that I didn't know until I studied out and looked at some of the history. But the donkeys were known to eat poisonous weeds. And because they would eat poisonous weeds, their breath would be poisonous. And they said in that Old Testament times that they could actually kill the oxen by breathing on them over a prolonged period of time. So don't get near a donkey or you're going to die. Anyways, isn't that's incredible. But see, you know, what's the principle here? The principle is, do it the way God says to do it, and it's going to work out for you. You ever tried to do something on your own and it not work out too good? And God says, look, all I want you to do is do it this way. Well, I want to do it my way. All right, go ahead and try plowing with a donkey and an oxen and see what happens to you. Do it my way, and everything's going to be just fine. Okay, so I want you to write down 1 Corinthians 9:9. You don't have to go there. And Luke 12:6. Those are just for you to read later on. They kind of go with the ecosystem and the whole thing about humane treatment. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9:9, Luke 12:6. All right. All right. So where are we at? What verse are we at? Verse 11. And thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. So now God's a fashion designer. No, he's not a fashion designer. What is he saying? I don't want you to mix. Why? Because the pagans did. The pagans mixed their clothing thinking it was magical. Tapestry, you know, woven together. Having two different types of clothing, thinking that out of that would be some type of magical power. And God says, don't be like that. You know what another good interpretation is? Just be who you are. Just be the way I created you and stop trying to put all the fancy stuff. Now, I'm not talking about not dressing nice and looking good and please brush your teeth and comb your hair and use the Q-tip if you got one. We're not talking about that. We're talking about trying to put something on you that doesn't belong on you. You can always tell when somebody's uncomfortable with what they're wearing. Or they're uncomfortable with who they're trying to be when they're not really that person. You ever done that? We all have. We've all put that mask on. And God was telling them, look, I don't want you to do this. This is part of superstition. This is what the pagans do. Don't do that yourself. Okay, so mixture, again, that's an important thing. Verse 12, and thou shalt make the fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture wherewith thou coverest thyself. Okay, so again, here he goes. He says, I don't want you to mix the clothing, but in that I want you to have tassels, four corners, four tassels on your outfit. Why? Numbers chapter 15, 37 through 31 talks about this. It causes you to remember my word. The tassels, remember my word. It is just like you and I back in the old days when we were growing up, tie a string on your finger to what? Remember? It's the same principle. Put the tassels on your clothing and you'll never forget my commandments and you will always obey me. The second reason God told him to do that is so that we can identify each other. Brother Mike comes in, he's got his tassels on, he's a brother. We're in the marketplace somewhere and I see them wearing that outfit, that's my brother, that's my sister. Isn't that cool? Amen. People will know you by your obedience. They'll know you by your character, and they'll know you by what? Your fruit. So in the New Testament, we put on Christ. We don't have to put on special clothes. We don't have to wear a prayer shawl with a tzitzi, which with the word of God, those tassels. We don't have to do that. We don't have to have locks in our hairs. But we have to have the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit. And then people be like, ah, there they are. That's a believer right there. It's usually the one that looks like they're sucking lemons that you don't want to get around. You just kind of get away from them folk. Okay? So those are the things that he said. I want you to put those tassels. So hopefully he wrote down Numbers 15. And also, Jesus talked about this in Matthew 23. Remember that? He said it about the Pharisees, that they actually made their tassels longer so that everybody could see them. Yeah, they extended them and said, hey, look how holy we are. And Jesus says, you don't do that. Okay? All right, so we move on. Verse 13, if any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and had give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman and I came to her and I found her not a maid. Let's stop right there. When he says he hates her, he's not talking about, you know, after just a couple days or something, he realizes he don't really like this person. His soul is hating her because of these next few verses. Okay, so this is kind of some mature stuff, but gives occasion of speech against her and brings up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman when I came to her and I found her not a maid. I found her not a virgin. All right, go on. Then the father of the damsel and of the mother take her and bring forth the tokens of the damsel virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. Okay, so what does that mean? It means this. That on the night of their honeymoon, when usually these feasts last, you know, our weddings are really boring in America. If you really look at weddings and how they're supposed to be, ours is like what, a couple hours, we eat, throw cake, which you're not supposed to, by the way, that's covenant, but and we're gone. I mean, they're headed to Hawaii or whatever. They want to get away from everybody. Usually these things can last 7 days up to a month, just a feast. And they would build a big canopy and they would just party down. Yeah, they'd have a blast. But here's where it gets kind of odd. This is where it gets a little odd. On the honeymoon night, as the guests are still there, as the husband and wife come together, they lay upon, obviously, the bed and the sheets. And during the act of marriage, there must be bloodshed to prove that she was a virgin. In the morning time, she is to come out with the sheets. Actually, the husband would come out with the sheets and lift it before the people of the party and say, you know, it's been done. We're married. That's mature, and that's the way it was done. And everybody would go, la, 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 la. Well, that was pretty good, wasn't it? You like that? I practiced that one. That's how it sounds in the movies anyways. You know, and they'd go, yeah, ching, 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 whatever. And they dance and they have a party, and it's like, hey, he got his wife, you know? And what a blessing it was, how special it was. Well, here's the deal. If he says she's not a virgin and he brings this accusation to her, they go to mom and dad. Why? Because mom and dad get to keep the sheet. Wow. Now, here's some things here. There's a lot to open up here, but basically mom and dad are still a part of the covering of their life. Not the strings attached, but they're still part of that authority and part of that covering. Even though the two became one and they separated themselves from that, they're still a part of that family. And so they held on to that sheet. And then they would say and go to the elders and say, that's not so. What that man has said about my daughter is not so. Here's the proof. Isn't that wild? There's a lot to say about that, but our proof of our marriage is the blood of Jesus. Our proof that we have been born again is him, okay, and what he did on the cross. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. Boy, don't make dad mad. Especially after all that money for the month-long party. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet there are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Now we're getting into some business, aren't we? My goodness gracious. But you see how God set this up so there'd be clarity and there would be honesty and there would be no hearsay. To me, that's powerful. That's like the Lord saying, look, you want to bring up something? Let's bring out the proof. Let's bring out the evidence. Okay? It seems embarrassing, but to them, virginity was a token of honor. It's not anymore. It's not anymore in American culture and world culture. It should be, but it's not. We should protect our children, our grandchildren, and all those things about their lives until the day God gives them their mate. We should. No, absolutely we should. We should protect them as much as possible. Well, we're just going to go outside and talk. Me too. That bench is big enough for both of us. All three of us. Mom, come on out here. Come on, somebody. And the Rottweiler. And Winchester. Make room for Winchester. But you see, we not do that. Well, I remember when I was in love. Yeah, you were stupid. And what parents do is they try to live their lives out through their children and say, oh, I remember when. No, I remember when, but that was wrong. And present them to their bride and present them to their husband, you know, as a special gift. Because it's the most special moment of coming together. But we don't honor that no more. Now, thank God for us to have been through stuff. You know, God cleanses us and makes everything new. So it's beautiful for us as well. But I'm telling you, we've lost this in America. And you know, all this Planned Parenthood stuff. And stuff that goes on in school. Listen, you don't need to teach them sex ed. Brother, I didn't need a book. Come on, somebody help me. You didn't need a book. You didn't need Popular Mechanics. Never mind. You don't need none of that stuff. All right. And the elders of the city shall take that man and chase him. He's actually was supposed to be beaten about 40 whips or so, just under 40 whips. You won't get yourself whipped, boy. You make mom and dad bring out all that stuff and embarrass that young little girl, you're going to get whipped. And thou shalt amend him in 100. In other words, you'll charge him as a fine of 100 shekels of silver. I think that came out about 50-something pounds of silver or something. It's pretty heavy. And give them unto the father of the damsel. You're going to pay, boy. Because he has brought up an evil upon the virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife, and he shall not put her away all his days. The greatest penalty was not being whipped, and it was not paying that money. It was hanging out with her the rest of your life. You think she's going to forget that? Well, it's June 18th, honey. You remember what day that was, don't you? Yeah, the day you tried to get me in trouble. Okay. But if this thing be true, now here you go, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, there was no proof of it, then thou shalt bring out the damsel to the door of the father's house, in the middle of the city shall do what? Stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put away evil from among you. We just go ahead and stone all of Hollywood. We just go ahead and just dump train loads of rocks on D.C. I mean, just think about that. But, you know, today, there's no shame. Oh, she found him a beau. He don't have a job, but she found him a guy. He's got a motorcycle, but he don't have a job. And if a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, and when they, if he lives through it, and when they shall both of them die, both the man that lie with the woman and the woman, so shall they put away evil from evil. Just make a little light of this. But look, those things are very serious to God. But see, adultery today is nothing. In fact, if you don't have several affairs in Hollywood or as a sports star or as somebody, you know, who's famous, then you know, you don't trend. Yeah, you don't move up. It's hard to find someone who's loyal to their wife and loyal to their husband that's not looking around. Help me out, church. This is it's wrong. God wanted us to, you know, when you find somebody, you love them. Now, if we've been through divorce, we can't help that. But if we have somebody that God gave us, then we're to love them and cherish them and protect them and do the right thing. But can you imagine if we started stoning people for adultery? There would be nobody left in America from the White House down. There might just be a few folks in the United Church left. I mean, no, come on. I mean, think about it. But it's joking. But when you look at the problem of sexuality in America and the world, but especially in America, it's absolutely horrible. The fever. It's more in the church than it is anywhere because people use the church as a place to hook up, and they use the church as a veil to do what they want to do, including preachers. I mean, it's sickening. And God says, I don't want this evil in your land because it produces more. It's like the mixed seed. When you begin to mix these things, it produces what? Disease. How many times have I preached and gave you statistics of skyrocketing diseases in America, of STDs? They got stuff that's going on today that there ain't a drug available to fix it. And people still doing it. Come on now.
Just wear a mask.
That's what they were telling everybody. Wear a mask. Dude, we're going to get a lap dance. Okay, wear a mask. I'm just telling you, since we're on the subject, let's just talk about it. It's absolutely insanity. And we got a fever. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto her husband, and a man find her in a city and lie with her. Let's stop right there. Now watch this. You got to read the Bible and then look at it and get what he's saying. If a damsel that a virgin be betrothed unto an husband. Notice how God already called him her husband. Because engagement back then was the real deal. That when you were engaged, it was as though you were married. That doesn't mean you brought each other together in the act of marriage, but it was so serious that I love you, you love me, we're going to get married, there's no doubt about it, that's my husband. That's how God is viewing this, okay? And they find her in the city and he lie with her, okay? This is speaking of rape. You shall bring them both into the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, she can't use a case of rape if she didn't cry out. Okay, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, thou shalt put away evil from among you. So they were in the city. It wasn't like it was in a field. It was in a city. So there was people that could have heard as she cried out for help. Okay, so God is just establishing this, and I know it's a sensitive issue, but it's what happened and what happens today. And if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lie with her shall die. He explains it. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There's in this damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when the man rises against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. So God says that this rape is just like murder. Why? Because you took from me my character. You took from me the virginity. You took from me my innocency. You took from me my gift to give to my husband. The greatest gift I could give at that moment of saying I'm married to you, as covenant is cut and the blood is shed. Come on, somebody. Wow, it's so powerful. And God says to me, that's murder. Get rid of them. Woo. But here in America, man, we flaunt it. Movies and songs and everything is just flaunt it. Just do it. Horrible. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was no
one or none to save her. And if a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lie with her shall give unto the damsel's fathers 50 shekels of silver, and he shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, and he may not put her away all his days. Wow. Now, see, in America, we'll say if you get her pregnant, you know, maybe you'll get married, make it right. How many of y'all have seen that in the church? Okay, well, you know, we're not going to get into all that. That's a matter of counsel and what have you. But here, God says, you're going to pay a price. You're going to pay another price because whether you like her or not, she's yours. You got her. You wanted her. You got her. But I feel bad for the woman. I feel bad for the woman. Think about it. She is the victim, but now she's got Bubba. I didn't ask for Bubba. Well, you got Bubba. And thou shalt not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. So basically, again, there's a law of incest. God says, look, you're not going to do that. We're not going to have that among you. You're not going to be like the heathens. You're not going to be like the pagans. Now, I want you to go real quick to a New Testament scripture, and I believe it's John chapter 8, verse 1. Let's look there real quick. We just got a minute or two. I mean, isn't God awesome? I mean, he just set everything out plain, and how far we've gotten away, and we've allowed, you know, crooked politicians and movie stars and psychologists and all that to redefine what life is and purity is. And then we allow these people to teach our children this in public schools and then trust them. You need to teach your children purity. Need to teach your little girl kung fu or some other way of protect. I mean, seriously. You know, young man, how to be around young women and how to say things, and don't give them the opportunity to be alone. That's the bottom line to me. Private eyes watching you. All right, Jesus. That's a good one, isn't it? Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, and he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and they sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a what? A woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now stop right there. Deuteronomy says you have to have two or three witnesses. You can't convict. So they were still under the law of Moses, weren't they? Yes, because they worshiped the law of Moses. Okay, so they're trying to trick Jesus. Go ahead. Now, Moses' law commanded us that they should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Now, they were supposed to be stoned, but the person who brought the accusation must have the evidence. So they had the stone in their hands, okay? So they would be the actual executor. They would be the beginning ones to stone. And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and he wrote with his finger on the ground as though he had heard them not. He just ignored them. Isn't that cool? What's the word there? Ignore the Pharisees. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and he said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the stone at her. See, if you are the executor, if you're the one, remember we just talked about stoning a minute ago, didn't we, in Deuteronomy? If you're the one with the evidence, then go ahead and cast it. They didn't have the evidence. I'm going to prove to you why they didn't have the evidence. You ready? Watch this. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. We really don't know what he wrote down. He might have wrote down Deuteronomy. He could have. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. You can read the rest later. It's beautiful how he just told her, don't sin no more. Right there, it breaks my heart because, man, that's God talking to me. I forgive you. Don't do it again. Whew. Woo, thank you, Lord. I mean, she was caught. But here's the deal. Here's something that you don't really hear taught much of because you look at it, you read it, and you go on.
Here's the thing. They had to bring evidence, right? Where was the man? They never brought the man. The man was never brought up on charges. He was never brought. She couldn't have done it by herself. You have to have two to what? Tangle. So in evidence for law, they didn't have it. They probably accused her of it. Maybe she did do it, but they let the man skate, and all of that was against Deuteronomy. And Jesus said, you ain't tempting me. You ain't messing me up. I am the word. I wrote that word. I told Moses what to do. Boy, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? God has an answer for every situation. And that's what I love about the Old Testament. It allows us to kind of see who God is. And remember this, who you're seeing God as in the Old Testament, he's the same in the New Testament. He doesn't change. These laws and ordinances do. Thank God that when you and I were born again because of our adulterous past and the things we've done, we didn't get stoned as soon as we walked into church. Thank God for that. And thank God that when we get it, well, we do by words, but depends on what church you went to. But for the most part, it doesn't happen by God. It happens by his people. But like the woman caught, we're forgiven. And that's the beautiful thing. And don't ever lose sight of that about who God is. And please, when anybody tries to tell you something about the Old Testament and say that's a hogwash or whatever, tell them you are missing who the Father is. He is awesome.